But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Should have fired him. Should have fired him during the 10-game losing streak. I mean, I guess it sounds tough, right? If I had thought that we were tanking any of those games, I would have fired everybody. No, you're afraid to fire guys now. 888-808-1019 inside the 11 p.m. hour on The Fan, January 6th. Keith McPherson on Black Monday. We will get to all the conversation around Mike Vrabel, Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Rex Ryan, the Jets, but I'm still just kind of stuck on the Giants being stuck on stupid. It says that they have a 574.574 strength of schedule next year. So I feel like they're just kicking the can down the road. I think that it's going to be inevitable. I think that next year you'll see, even if, you know, Dable gets his quarterback, like they're going to lose games and heads will have to roll. Heads have rolled for less than what they just survived. Like, you're just going to see Dable probably get fired and then they keep Shane for the last year of his contract. We'll see. We'll see. But this is where I am with the Giants. I just feel like John Mara has been just beaten into submission. And when he can't sleep at night, he comes back around to, this isn't going well, right? Nobody's more embarrassed than me. But do I want to do the work? Do I want to do all of the work that it's going to take to replace his GM, to replace a coach or find a coach with the GM, and then draft a quarterback? They have so many things that they need at the top that, like, yeah, I guess you stay the course. 888-808-1019. And I've said this on air that, like, you can't split them up. If you were going to split them up, I'd keep the coach and not the GM that has had a terrible two drafts to start. There is a tweet from King Lenny on Twitter. I just put it on my Twitter, @Keith_McPherson, where he said, Joe Shane is hilarious, man. And he put his first two drafts together. Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, Wandale Robinson, Josh Azudu, Cordell Flott, Daniel Bellinger, Dane Belton, Micah McFadden, great pick at 146. And then that was 22. And then 2023, Deontay Banks, John Michael Schmitz, Jalen Hyatt, Eric Gray, Trey Hawkins, Jordan Riley, Jarvarius Owens. That draft in itself, it's too many misses. Way too many misses. But he's saved by this 2024 NFL draft because all of these guys came in and played for the most part. He hit on every single pick, right? Malik Nabers, immediate impact. And let me just actually stop for a second to acknowledge Malik Nabers. I know that I did not believe the hype. I know that there are Giants fans on this station saying he's going to be the greatest Giants receiver of all time. Well, pretty good start. He's got the record for most receptions. I know that there were a lot of, you know, conversations about him being the best wide receiver on the field in a lot of the games. Well, I mean, if you look at what the kid is able to do, just the body control, the speed, getting out of tackles, getting to the end zone, nose for the end zone, like, he's actually him. Like, he's actually a ridiculous guy. And I need Giants fans to kind of let go of, we passed on Bo Nix, we passed on Michael Penix, or even J.J. McCarthy, because in passing on them, you get a Malik Nabers. And Malik Nabers' prototype, or, you know, the guy that his comp was for coming out of the draft, is Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you might have the next best thing to Ja'Marr Chase, who just won the triple crown, and they're about to give this guy all the money in the world to keep him in Cincinnati. 888-808-1019. So I did want to stop and acknowledge, like, they absolutely hit on Malik Nabers. I don't care about him being disgruntled during the season, not getting his receptions. I don't care about him speaking out against the coach and the play calling. Somebody need to say something. Like, I think that's tougher than at the end of the year talking about, oh, I would have fired people. Like, that young man was pissed off during the season. That young man was calling out the team during the season. He was trying to win. But I just feel like they're stuck in this situation with these guys. And I think, like, as we watch Hard Knocks, everything happens for a reason. That peel back a layer for us to see. Joe Shane runs this show, and he's way too confident. With that record, with some of the draft picks and some of the little clerical decisions that he's made that have gone wrong, he's just way too comfortable in that chair. He even said in Hard Knocks, hey, hopefully we're doing this for 10 years, you know, talking to the GM of the Panthers. And I'm like, nah, buddy, we need results. It's results based around here. It's New York. Like, if you don't get results, they're coming for you. They're calling for your head. Like, it just doesn't work like that. But I guess through John Mara, and like I said, you know, Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge, and, you know, having the revolving door and that not working, the Giants are not going to be good. Like, I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, put this on Old Takes Exposed. I just don't see it. I think there's too many guys in that locker room who understand that the whole Daniel Jones thing was BS. And, like, even some of the guys that think, like, hey, we had the number one pick to go draft. Like, the Cam Ward is gone. Unless they want to give up a fortune. And that's another thing I was saying last week. You can't give up your 2026 first pick, because that could be a top five pick with your strength of schedule. So 888-808-1019. Let's hear from you. I think I've said enough. Ari's in Bergenfield. Ari, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Great to speak to you.
Thanks for calling.
A very frustrated Giants fan. I think the first Giants game I saw as a little kid was they won the Super Bowl and Norwood missed the kick. I can't remember time like this where it's been so long that they've been so horrible. I can't believe they're keeping Daboll. Saying, I can't believe it. I guess the only thing forward is, now that they're out of the top two, what should they do about QB? Like, should they find Darnold? Like, I'm out of the loss with this franchise and frustrated as heck.
Well, I don't think Sam Darnold has any interest in coming back to MetLife Stadium, Jets or Giants. And I think you start with the Vikings, and damn, Sam Darnold cost me some bread. I went to sleep after he kept airmailing those throws. He was throwing the ball too tall for those guys. I'm like, settle down. But, I don't think he's coming back to Jersey. And the bag that he's going to collect, I don't think the Giants are ready to win to pay a quarterback that much money, even if they have it.
What do you think they do at quarterback? Like, I'm at a loss. Like, who's the QB next year?
Boom, Bazooka Joe. That Bazooka Joe conversation after we saw him throwing darts and evading the rush and, you know, winning that last game for Gerard Mayo and the Patriots, a lot of people are starting to point to him. I don't know what he's going to be available for. If I'm the Patriots, I'm not giving that kid away. I wouldn't want anything to do with J.J. McCarthy. I think that's all just hype and internet conversation. Justin Fields, maybe. Maybe they flirt even with Russell Wilson because they had him in the building last year. But they have to do both. They literally have to sign a veteran quarterback and draft a quarterback. It might not be at three, but they have to draft a young quarterback. They have no quarterbacks on the roster.
Who's the third quarterback? And, like, I don't even know.
Tommy DeVito, probably. You know, if Tommy just wants to, the third-ranked quarterback? It depends.
Yeah.
It depends who you ask. Some people say Jalen Milroe, not me. Some people are saying Jackson Dart, a ton of hype. Two. After Jackson Dart had a good showing in the Tax Slayers Gator Bowl against a team from Duke that didn't have their starting quarterback and running back. Some people are saying Jackson Dart because of the Ole Miss connection. And I think he broke one of Eli's records and has a relationship with Eli Manning. So, you know, there's talk about Jackson Dart. There's talk about maybe even Drew Aller. We'll see this week how he plays. There's a lot of chatter of, like, if he balls out, takes Penn State to the national championship, even if they win or lose, his stock is rising. I watched that game against Boise State, and I'm like, why the hell is he going back? This guy's making some throws. He was putting the ball in the back of the end zone. He was putting the ball where he wanted. So maybe even Penn State, Drew Aller.
Just, like, I don't understand rewarding incompetence.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Maybe they had enough of it, but.
I don't understand having guys work for you that you come in and tell you're going to lose sleep if Saquon Barkley goes to Philadelphia. And those guys let that guy leave off of their principles, their theories that are empty, right? You know, and then those guys are safe. Like, just that alone, I would have been like, nah, you guys got to get out of my face.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for the call, Ari. 888-808-1019. But he's staying the course. He's practicing patience. And, you know, he talks about, oh, I better be in a better mood at this time next year. How? How, Sway? You don't have the answers. How? How? I don't see it. Who is quarterbacking the team? You have to get a veteran quarterback and a rookie. And now all the conversation has shifted to all of a sudden Shedeur Sanders isn't an NFL quarterback. Stop that. That's another thing I got to speak on. Please. Oh, people don't have a first-round grade for Shedeur Sanders. The son of Deion Sanders that's been groomed since he was a little kid, both of his brothers played Division I college football. Bucky went to SMU. Shiloh went to South Carolina before joining him. Now all of a sudden Shedeur Sanders isn't a first-round quarterback. He was a second-round quarterback last year when they evaluated him. I'll say this to any Giants fans listening. Shedeur Sanders is better than anybody you had in the room. Maybe not Daniel Jones. I'm still kind of high on Daniel Jones. I think a change of scenery is going to help for him. But like a Shedeur Sanders in a year maybe, get some experience, he's better than Drew Lock. He's better than Tim Boyle. He's better than Tommy DeVito. He can help you win. He can help you look better than you currently are or than you currently have looked. And he's a star. He's already super famous. Followers, like, kids love him. Like, the energy boost that the Giants will get if Deion and Shedeur don't want to go to Cleveland and force their way to the Giants, where, I mean, the Cleveland Browns got to listen to anything from the Giants. They're in a situation with Deshaun Watson, dumbest move maybe in the history of the NFL, giving the masseuse madman all of that guaranteed money. And now all of a sudden, right, if you're on the internet as much as I am, all of a sudden now Deshaun Watson has a setback in his Achilles injury, in his rehab from the Achilles. But I see enough videos of him on these dates with his girl who's like an influencer, wannabe songwriter, song maker. She's like a wannabe singer. There's all these videos of them going on dates, and maybe he re-ruptured his Achilles doing all that with her. So they have a problem. They need to draft a quarterback. They can't go with Bailey Zappe and DTR, and Jameis is definitely gone. So the Browns need to draft a quarterback, and they're going to have Deshaun Watson. Could Deion and Shedeur and the Giants potentially talk them out of it where, like, you know, they move back a pick? The Giants can't give up their 2026 pick, though.
It worked with Eli. Keep that in mind. It did work with Eli when
it's in mind. It's in everybody's mind.
They said that he didn't want to go to San Diego. He wasn't going there. And that trade.
And Archie.
And that trade worked out awesome for both sides because Rivers was awesome.
A little better for the.
Right. But Philip Rivers was that guy's a top, you know, not a top quarterback in the league.
What did he win?
Nothing. And
a little better for the Giants.
Absolutely. And what the Giants are hoping for, I would think, is that it saves Mara the embarrassment of having to do another search, even though he kind of said he's going to do one if it happens again next year. He said they're probably going to, it's playoffs or bust, essentially is what he said, is that he's just hoping whatever quarterback they pick is that Dable can turn him into Josh Allen. That's the Hail Mary.
Nobody can turn anybody into Josh Allen. Josh Allen is 1-1.
That's all that's going on is that they are praying that Brian Dable can find the secret sauce to Josh Allen. That's all he can hang his hat on.
He couldn't turn Daniel Jones into Josh Allen, who was a similar body type, who was a running quarterback, who had a strong arm as well, went to a smaller school. I don't know, man. We got to kind of lose the Josh Allen narrative. Even Shane talking about, yeah, I watched him for 4 years with Josh Allen. So what? Like, what have you done in the last 3 years with the Giants evaluating quarterbacks, developing quarterbacks? A couple games here and there, it's cool, but you need a consistent quarterback. Look at the NFL. Look at these teams. Like, the teams that have the quarterback that consistently goes out there and throws the ball and makes the right decisions and makes plays, they win. I mean, even a team like the Bengals that have one, they're at home because they don't have a defense. It's a team game. 888-808-1019. I don't know, man. It's not a good situation. And being stuck with these guys, it doesn't give you much hope. And now there's so much pressure on them to, okay, complete the Holy Trinity, GM, head coach, quarterback, and you might reach or you might trade back or take somebody later on. I don't know.
Well,
and it might not be the right guy.
Look at all of the playoff teams. What do they all have in common for the most part? They all have a quarterback. They all have a guy.
And a coach.
They have a guy.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud, guy. Herbert, guy. Lamar, guy. Steelers don't have a guy, but they do have a coach.
They have two guys.
They have two guys. But
they're going to be one and done anyway. They've lost four games in a row. They don't stand a chance against the Ravens. The Ravens are already trolling them.
Josh Allen, guy. Bo Nix, obviously. He looks like he's a guy.
We knew he was a guy.
Yes. And that's another thing.
He played as a freshman at Auburn.
How the Giants passed on Bo Nix. And that's another way this can go. And again, I appreciate the Malik Nabers stuff.
Yeah.
But how many times?
If you draft Bo Nix, there's no Malik Nabers. But there's so many damn receivers every year. Look at this year. Look at the receivers that came out this year and the year before.
And how many times have we spoken about it? In order to win in the NFL, the number one thing you need is not a running back. It's not a wide receiver. You need a quarterback. That's why the Jets have failed miserably for the past three decades is they haven't had one. The best one they had probably is Mark Sanchez and Chad Pennington. That's it. And that's why they can't win. That right there. Because they don't have a top guy, and you need a top guy.
But I'm glad you mentioned that, right? Because remember that year? Out of nowhere, Zach Wilson throws a ball 60 yards in shorts indoor in Utah. And now everybody's talking about Zach Wilson. Oh, Zach Wilson. You know what? Like, the league was kind of fooled by Patrick Mahomes and, I don't know, maybe Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and, I don't know, Joe Burrow, whoever. I don't know. They were talking Zach Wilson up. And he shot up. And who falls for it? The Jets. And you know what? I'm not even saying that Zach Wilson isn't good anymore. I'm not saying he sucks. The situation sucked. You put him in there with a rookie head coach, a rookie offensive coordinator, and no veteran quarterback for him to learn from. They basically, handed the keys to a kid coming out of getting their driver's license. That's literally like handing the keys to a Ferrari to a kid coming out of the DMV and telling this kid, you got to drive every day and take us to the promised land over the course of the next, 6 months. It's not going to end well. There's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some crash outs. There's going to be some mistakes, some learning curves, and there's a lot of pressure in that situation. But the Giants here, I look at this situation like it's right there. There's an empty quarterback room. Now, I wouldn't go and get a Joe Flacco. I wouldn't go and get a Carson Wentz. I'd get somebody a little younger than that. And I'd have them compete. Like, that's why I say like a Justin Fields. Maybe a Jameis. Jameis with the turnovers. You don't want to live that pick six. I don't know. I would get a guy that's like a few years into the league and have him compete. And then if the team sucks and they're losing games still, then you go to Shador. Or you go to Jackson Dart. They cannot make, if they draft Jalen Milroe, that I don't think there's any way in hell. I don't think there's any way in hell if Brian Daboll is this great evaluator of quarterbacks and was at Alabama. I think he's got enough intel on Jalen Milroe that the Giants will not draft Jalen Milroe at three, but they could trade back. If they don't love what's there, and if Cam goes one to Tennessee, which, of course, as soon as the game ended, and we're hearing reports that, oh, Tennessee, they love Cam Ward. They have Will Levis, but they love Cam Ward. So, okay, Cam Ward's going to go number one overall now to the Titans, sure. And then the Browns are in a situation where they need quarterbacks. They need a quarterback. They have no real future with who they have. So they might actually get Shador. But I think that Dion, Shador, their whole marketing company, they're not going to want him to be out in Ohio with the Browns, who they don't do well with any quarterbacks they draft. And just like, they're not going to want him kicking it with Deshaun Watson every day. So I think there's a good chance that Shador ends up with the Giants still. And I thought it was hilarious, too. Joe Shane today, we got to play some of this audio from this guy. The balls on this guy. They called Brian Daboll, Dayballs, the balls on Joe Shane. Just blatantly lying. He should wear a big cap, a big Giants cap. He said that they hadn't talked to Deion Sanders. They hadn't talked to Shador Sanders' camp. We've seen multiple videos of you in Boulder, Colorado. You can't go there without talking to them. Maybe, okay, yeah. I just think it's hilarious. Yeah. I know you're prepared to lie because we saw how you prepared at the combine on Hard Knocks for all the questions that the media was going to hit you with. But, like, after you flew out to Colorado all those times this year, don't act like you haven't talked to Deion Sanders and Shador. If Shador is making Giants cleats with the logo and the colors, if Deion is getting on Adam Pac-Man Jones' podcast saying, oh, if the Giants have that number one pick, they're not trading that pick, that means you've already talked to them. That means you've already intimated that you'd like to have the kid, that you would draft the kid if you were at one, and you might still be able to do so at three. And I think if that happens, that's something that Giants fans should rally around and be excited about. We'll talk more about it in a second. I got a break. 888-808-1019. Call the Fan. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Talk about your Jets on the Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Anytime this track drops on the Fan, I'm like, why is this even in the system, bro? Like, this is how we're setting the tone for what we're about to talk about next? I hope not. Good grief. Keith McPherson on the Fan.
I'm just a bachelor looking for a partner. Someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. Gotta be compatible.
Yeah, there's no reason for this. There's no reason at 11:30-some at night we're dropping. If you're... Nah, pause. Let me chill. 888-808-1019. Shout out to G-Duff. Shout out to Genuine. Actually, I know how we could tie this in. You know, remember Genuine used to be in a group with Tank? Yeah, the Giants just failed back-to-back tankathons. And when you look at tankathon.com, it's Shador Sanders going one, Cam Ward going two. It could be, you know, either way, flip-flopped. Would the Giants take Travis Hunter at three? I would. But then you got to find the quarterback. And I think what you'd have to do is trade out of the second round up. And maybe if somebody's slipping, falling, can't get up, you go and get them. Because in the second round at pick 34, it has the Giants taking Jalen Milroe. And I don't think Brian Daboll is a fool. I think he's in a situation where he looks like a fool. I think they all look foolish. But I don't think he's dumb enough to waste a pick on Jalen Milroe, a guy that just, I don't think any real quarterback football coach can look at Jalen Milroe on film and say, yeah, this guy's mechanics, this guy's fundamentals, this guy's skill set translates to the NFL. He's not a Lamar Jackson. He's not. I think the other night I said he's not even Taysom Hill. I'd make him Deebo Samuel if I drafted him. And I'm all for the brothers that play quarterback. I love the league is full of starting quarterbacks that are black. I love it. Look at this draft class of black quarterback. Like at the top three. I love it. That brother, his throwing mechanics, the way he throws the ball, his footwork, it just is not there for me. I think he's such a project. I think you would be making a mistake to use a high pick on him. He's somebody I think that's going to drop. But there will be some team that already has a starting quarterback that grabs him and then makes him a gadget guy. Anyway, back to the phones we go. 888-808-1019. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Giants and, of course, Yankee point. First on the Giants. So let me get this straight. You're trusting a man to pick your next quarterback. And if you look at the talent level on this Giant team, him being in charge for the last 3 years is probably the lowest talent level in the NFL. He's taken 3 years to get an offensive line. He still hasn't found an offensive line. And he's got a great left tackle. But the center, who's one of the keys to the offensive line, has basically underperformed the last couple of years. He's let go of talented people and character people in Saquon Barkley and McKinney, and they've gone on to bigger and better things. And as much as Neighbors is a great wide receiver, it's a lot easier getting a wide receiver than the quarterback. But he didn't think Penix or Bo Nix was good enough for his team. So we're going to trust him to pick the next quarterback.
Yeah, you have no choice. Yes.
I think John Mara is a very nice guy, and he's an honorable guy. But sometimes you have to get down and dirty. And just because he didn't want to have to go through the bother of rearranging the Giants front office was wrong. I mean, sometimes you have to say, hey, guys, you tried your best, but it's not working out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's
a cutthroat business. This is the NFL. Like I mentioned Robert Kraft, Gerard Mayo. He kicked him to the curb. He's like, this isn't good enough. Vrabel's out there. Other coaches out there, we could do better. Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl winner. Kicked him to the curb down in Jacksonville, where they never win. But still,
what's the team's identity? They can't run, they can't pass, and they can't defend.
Their identity is not being able to tank correctly. They're going to do it 3 years in a row.
It boggles my mind. I mean, I'm an old-time Giant fan. I've been following the Giants since the late 60s. Even the bad teams, when you played them, you knew you were in a game. You had Brad Van Pelt. You had Kelly. You had Mendel.
I mean, okay? this team this year, Bruce, they got smoked so many times. They had laughable spreads. Like, they were the laughing stock of the league. As soon as they shut down.
They quit during games.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. And I guarantee you, we're going to watch the playoffs. And just this first game, right? Eagles host the Green Bay Packers. Somebody's going to mention former Giant Xavier McKinney versus former Giant Saquon Barkley and the seasons that those guys have had getting to the playoffs the year after they escaped Big Blue. It's going to be talked about.
And have you looked at next year's schedule?
Of course I have. I've been talking about it for weeks now.
I mean, if there's a betting about...
the over-under, how many games they're going to win?
No, it's a betting of if the general manager and the coach can make it through next year and not get fired for the following year, put the money on them getting fired. There's no way in heck that these guys are going to survive next year.
Exactly. It's going to be extremely hard for John Mara to say, well, they're developing this young quarterback and that's the only reason they're safe. Because they're going to lose again. They're guaranteed to lose a bunch of games. They might lose them close, right? Joe Shane wanted his credit for being close. Horseshoes and hand grenades. I don't know, man. I'm like, this is stupid. They're stuck on stupid.
Quick Yankee point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw that the ESPN guy saying the Yankees are talking to Padres for the second baseman.
Luis Arraez, yes.
Luis Arraez. Now, how bad is he defensively? I know he's not good. Is he Torres bad? Is he worse than Torres? Because on the one hand, you don't like the fact that he's bad defensively. On the other hand, the guy hits 340 all the time and is your ideal.
Yeah, I can live with that, right? Like, I can live with that for a team that doesn't have a leadoff hitter and... is searching for one. I could live with that. I don't think he's going to be worse than what we had to live with Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, I agree. So if he's not worse than Torres, I think you have to make that deal.
Yeah.
But does that mean Jazz is at third base?
Yeah, I would try that. And they have options. They have so many options. You know, I was talking to one of the homies today about it, you know, because John Boy posted about it, and I think Luis Arraez put, like, some kind of emoji on the post, like Luis Arraez was like putting a smiling emoji, like I guess kind of signaling like, yeah, hope they get it done. No, it was a smile upside down emoji. Either way, and I was talking to one of the homies about it. I'm like, yo, they're going to rest Stanton. He's not going to clog the DH spot up all the time. So maybe if this guy is that bad at second base, you have him DH a couple times a month, and he's not there every game at second base, and you can put a defensive replacement in, And you're going to have a team with DJ LeMahieu, who was a Gold Glove second baseman at one point in time. I know they'd rather him at third. But you're also going to have Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera, and somebody's going to make the team. And Jazz, he said last year to Aaron Boone, I feel like I was born to play third base. Now, the Yankees don't want to do that. They don't want to have him there. But, like, they were willing to do that in the postseason or World Series on short notice. Why wouldn't they let him continue to work at the position? If Luis Arraez presents himself in a trade, then you push that button. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get a third baseman and be able to put Jazz at second every day. There are options.
It's an interesting sidebar to this trade rumor. So you have Jeff Morrison from ESPN saying the Yankees are talking. You have John Heyman saying the Yankees, this is not a good fit. I'd love to find out what happened and see Heyman like screw up and say, oh, I made a mistake. Just like when I said Judge was going to San Francisco. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Heyman blocked me, so I like got to like shadow see his tweets. Like, I don't know, too. I'm looking forward to running into John. I hope he comes to the Pinstripe Pride event year 3 at American Dream later this month, January 31st, February 1st and 2nd. I'm confirmed for year 3. I'll be bopping around there. I love it because it just gets us fired up for spring training and another season. And there's all these different Yankees and Yankee blogs and podcasts and people like myself just kind of rubbing shoulders. I know my guy Ball Vinny is there every year. I know you can find the reporters there every year, from Brian Hoke to Mark Feinstein. You know, you'll see the Bronx Zoo out there, my guy Jake. And yeah, maybe John Heyman will pull up to that. Because I look forward to the day that I can see John face to face. People still, you know, bring up the John Heyman stuff to me. Again, on record, like, my intention was not to have John crash out, his voice crack, for that to be a moment. Like, man, that day, I remember talking to Connor. I had to go home that day back to OT, and I was just like, damn. By the time I got back in the car to drive from the Jersey Shore to the city to get on the radio, it was almost a two-hour drive with the traffic, and I'm like, let me hit up Connor. Like, bro, I need, like, it's hot stove time. I know Juan Soto news isn't going to break. I need somebody. Like, who can we get? Let me know who's in your contacts. And when he mentioned Heyman, and he also reached out to Ben Verlander, and I talked to Ben Verlander, and he was like, bro, I turned down the 820 spot, and it ended up going to Heyman. I was so excited to have Heyman on. And my whole thinking with having John Heyman on is I heard you on the Michael Kay Show. I heard you on the Bleacher Report app, and I heard him somewhere else. Oh, MLB Network. And I'm like, this guy's saying the same things over and over. People are asking him the same questions about Juan Soto, Scott Boras, the bidding. What's the money at? I'm like, I got to take a different approach. And my approach, trying to be funny, lighthearted, trying to crack jokes, which I learned, you know, you can't crack jokes with everybody. I've met John and I've been around John a couple times, literally maybe twice. I think I've seen him at the Yankee Stadium media area and in MLB Network. I thought we were cool. I thought we were cool to kind of joke. And it isn't like that was original material, right? I don't think I'm the first person that's ever said that John Heyman is in the Boras camp or connected with Scott Boras. But the way that all transpired, I really just like kind of laughed out of awkwardness. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And it went viral. And not for nothing, it raised my imprint. I'm not going to lie. I gained followers off of it. People reached out to me that never had spoken to me before. People reached out, like, you know, Passan. I forgot I even had Passan's number. Passan hit me. A couple other people, the kid Miro. I talked to Miro, but like Miro hit me. Carabas hit me. You know, people that are baseball fans in the industry. And they're all like, yo, you're good, bro. I'm like, I know I'm good. Like, I didn't mean for that to go that way. People were dragging it. Oh, this is slander. I'm like, bro, you guys just do too much. This is fun, right? I get on the radio at, I don't know, 10:40 at night. It's 11:40 now. It's not that serious. I'll sing Genuine Pony on the air. Like, we're a lot of, like, sports fans coming together at night to talk sports from anywhere in the world. And I happen to be stationed down here in New York. I don't take myself that seriously. I hope you guys don't. And shout out to John Heyman. I look forward to seeing you, John, so we could clear the air. But yeah, any Luis Arraez rumors on his Twitter account, I'm blocked. And he don't follow me on Instagram. So I guess he took it mad personal. But I thank him for it. Like I said, it raised my imprint. I saw multiple people like, I don't know who this Keith McPherson is, but he's got my attention now. Stay tuned. I'm on till 2 a.m. We got a break. 888-808-1019. I'll be right back.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. A couple minutes before we get to midnight. And then we're turning the page to a new day. Black Monday will end, and you know, I was thinking about Rob Saleh today. I'm like, damn, they fired him months ago. Like, the Jets have fired their head coach so long ago. And like, Jeff Ulbrich even came out and said that he's going to interview for the job. Okay, they're interviewing everybody for GM and for head coach, and they should cast a wide net, but also look inward and understand the mistakes of your owner and everything else. There was a stat that I saw. A few stats that I saw. The stats don't even matter. Basically, where we are with the Jets, they're the Jets until proven otherwise. And I don't know what GM is going to fix this. I don't know what head coach is going to fix this. But I'll caution you against Rex Ryan, who's awfully confident. Extremely just like out there, you know, on ESPN talking about the job. I wouldn't hire that guy. And I'm not trying to, you know, like he already had his opportunity. I just think you don't double back. I don't think you go back with Rodgers. I think that you have to completely hit refresh and start anew. Rex Ryan talking about, yeah, I'm the best guy for the job. But yeah, I'm confident. I'm 100% confident I'm going to get it. I'm the best guy for the job. You know what? Won't be a country club with me. Mandatory minicamp. You don't show up. We'll get Roger straight. Like, no. Like, I can't have you. I can't have you come through. I want it to be all business. I want there to be no nonsense. Man, I clipped something. My boy Mike is a Chicago Bears fan, and he reposted this. But, you know, the Bears fired their coach during the season. They literally had to after Thanksgiving, as you remember, with Matt Eberflus and the Bears not even attempting the field goal in that situation. But there's rumblings about them wanting to talk to Mike McCarthy, and stupid-ass Jerry Jones wants to take his time until Mike McCarthy's contract expires in a week from tomorrow, not realizing that this is a competition and literally all of these teams are competing for head coaches. So either piss or get off the pot. Do you want the guy or not? Is he going to continue with your organization or is he free to interview elsewhere? So whatever, the Bears are interested in Mike McCarthy, but they're also interested in Mike Vrabel. I don't think he would go to Chicago, but who knows? There was rumblings about him potentially going to Ohio State back when Michigan beat Ohio State. And people were talking about Ryan Day getting fired. On that line, I have a note from Paulie who told me that Ezekiel Elliott has signed with the Los Angeles Superchargers, Jim Harbaugh's group, right? Jim Harbaugh being a former Michigan guy and Zeke being an Ohio State legend, maybe he thinks there's something in it, whatever. Though, as much as they run the ball, they got another Ohio State running back in J.K. Dobbins. I think Gus Edwards was banged up. They had Haskins run the ball for him, whatever. Good luck to Ezekiel Elliott. He gets to go to L.A. I don't know how long the Chargers are going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they could lose to the Texans. They could beat the Texans. But anyway, back to Mike Vrabel, another Ohio State guy. There was a quote from DeMarcus Walker, who's on the Bears and played a year with the Titans, under Vrabel. He said, if Vrabel comes here, a lot of BS is going to get cut out. So this is a player on the Bears being asked about, you know, the prospect of Mike Vrabel coaching a team. And he said it very blunt and matter-of-factly. If Vrabel come here, a lot of BS is going to get cut out. So that's basically telling you he's a no-nonsense guy, if you didn't already know that. A former player, a player's coach. And probably a guy that rules with an iron fist because he has to. 888-808-1019. And I don't think he's coming to the Jets. I think the Jets now have moved on. But I think it's interesting how, you know, Rex Ryan is on ESPN. And Rex Ryan has talked so much. And even Rex Ryan was in the camp of, oh yeah, the Patriots got to fire Gerard Mayo. Just connect the dots. Why would he be lobbying for them to fire Gerard Mayo in New England? Because he knows that Mike Vrabel is a threat to him because Mike Vrabel last week interviewed with the Jets. He was in and out of there. I thought that was peculiar. I'm like, it was only a couple hours between Twitter knowing that Mike Vrabel was in the building and Twitter knowing that he was out. But Rex Ryan lobbying for Gerard Mayo to be fired, and he gets fired. And then everybody just immediately does the Leonardo DiCaprio point to Mike Vrabel to coach the Patriots next. 888-808-1019. I don't think that the Jets are going to get Mike Vrabel. I don't think that they should bring back Rex Ryan. I think the league has changed. I think Rex, even if you are looking for a stopgap, which I don't understand why you would ever be looking for a stopgap coach, you should be looking for your coach to be your coach for the next decade. Brian Flores, he's from Queens. It didn't work out with the Giants. He's having a hell of a run with the defense over there in Minnesota. Still pissed off at Sam Darnold absolutely selling last night. But yeah, why not Brian Flores come here and potentially be the head coach of the Jets? They requested to interview him. And you want to talk about a no-nonsense guy? That's a guy that comes in and the BS goes out. And then you heard Tua crying about Brian Flores earlier in the year. You know, he wasn't nice to me. What's up with Tua, bro? I think I heard Morash talking about the glasses he was wearing during the Jets game. I thought that was a little peculiar, too. Oh, you mad because I'm styling on you? At first, I thought they were just for style. Huh? Guy's not playing. He knows he's going to be on camera. He's got a nice pair of shades that he wants to wear. It is hella bright in MetLife Stadium, as most of you know. But then when you think about his concussion system symptoms, and you know when you come back from a concussion, I remember in college when I got concussed, they had a setup on a computer, and there's like the screen, and all I remember is this thing like to get through concussion protocol, it'll be like a blue dot, it'll disappear, green dot disappear, and you got to like know where the dots are coming from, and it's like they do all this like trippy stuff to make sure you're like vision and your brain functions are good. Maybe Tua was wearing those dark shades because he's got some symptoms still, and those lights could trigger some. I don't know. It's something to think about. All right, Jets fans, call me up now. We'll talk about your head coaching search. Aaron Rodgers is done. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think there's a GM and coach that wants to come in and start new. It's already not the most attractive job. It's even less attractive knowing you got to deal with Aaron Rodgers. And with Aaron Rodgers being gone, Davante Adams is gone, but so be it. You have Garrett Wilson. He should be the number one, and there should be focus on getting him a quarterback, just like there should be focus on getting Malik Nabers a quarterback. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.